Just a quick location check. You are in the craft of balancing safety and culture. So if that wasn't your intention, then we're glad you're here. Please don't leave. My name is Larry Horowitz from Four String Brewing Company. I'm your at-large Brewers Association board member representative. I also am the chair of the Brewers Association Safety Committee. So I'm very excited to see the enormous crowd here in the room today to talk about this topic. Hopefully you were able to see Eric Wallace's introductions the other day where he announced that we've changed our foundational documents to include safety, and we're very excited about that because we think that it's going to be a real challenge for us in the almost immediate future. You know, I tell my employees that I don't want to have to call your husband, wife, mistress, girlfriend, boyfriend, and let them know you're not coming home today. You know, we want our employees to leave tired but safe and happy. A couple bits of housekeeping. If you have downloaded the app, there is a easy three-question rating bit at the end of this talk. Please fill it out. We value your feedback very much, and we want to make sure that we're providing seminars that meet the needs of the membership and that we keep our speaker quality high, although I don't think we're going to have a problem with that today. So I've got two speakers to introduce today. I'm going to start with Jill Scanlon. She's the Human Resources Director at Odell Brewing Company. Jill has been the HR director at Odell Brewing Company since June 2016. Her certifications include PHR and SHR MCP. Jill has more than 20 years' experience in human resources and has spent much of her career in positions with responsibility for workplace safety and compliance. Passionate about coworker engagement, she is committed to preserving the awesome culture at Odell and progressing the safety program in a creative way. So let's welcome Jill. Our next speaker is my good friend and beer aficionado, Jim Stricker. James, I'm going to call you James. James has spent the last 10 years at Odell Brewing Company, including 6 years as a part-time safety coordinator and more than 4 years as safety manager. Excuse me. He's chairman of the NBAA Brewery Safety Committee, which is a sister organization of ours, if you're not aware. Master Brewers and Brewers Association both have their public-facing safety resources available for free. We all believe this is pre-competitive and really important. So please welcome me in joining these two for a wonderful discussion about safety culture.
How's it going, everybody? Thank you for coming. We'll get to Sergeant Safety later, but you all got stickers for coming to class today. You're already taking a step towards safety by coming here and listening, even if you leave early, which you shouldn't. Jill and I, when we decided, hey, I think we should submit a class, one of the biggest things is this, how do you mesh safety and culture? We basically wanted to come so that we could share some of the challenges that we have faced that are likely challenges that a lot of you have faced or will. And then we'll also talk a lot about how we can preserve the culture that we already have in place and continue to grow our safety program at the same time. They don't have to be mutually exclusive, and we'll kind of give you some reasons as to why we think that and how you can get to that place. But first, Jill.
Okay. So my Odell friends will not be surprised that my poll everywhere is not working. This is a fun activity if it works. And if you're logged in, we're going to try it one more time. And if it doesn't work, it's fine. We're such a small group, which I'm so happy about, because we can really interact and engage and just chat. And it's not like a big presentation that would be scary, make me nervous. So let's see if this works. If you're logged in, let's give it a try. Is it working? No way. Oh my gosh. I like to use this. You are here. We are from, where's Colorado? I can't see it. Here. Where are you from? Oh, look. What's going on here? That's awesome. Yeah, it's fun to just see where we're all from. We have a nice diverse crowd here, sort of. All right, awesome. Where's Joy? Oh, she would have been my Alaskan. Oh, yes. Okay, see, it worked. I'm done. It's over. Okay. Next poll is... this guy. Okay. I wish we had some honky-tonk music to listen to right now while you guys are answering. If anyone would like to, I can bring the microphone over. Nope. No. I did that already.
Is Tim some whiskey?
Oh. Yeah. Take it, Jimmy. Okay. See, that helps us.
Oh, yeah.
That helps us know who's in the house. All right.
So something that you're going to find as we go through this, especially with this one, finding out who's in the room, the issues that we're talking about are not exclusive to size. We all deal with mostly the same hazards. Some of you may not have forklifts, but eventually you might. Things of that nature. But as far as variation, you'll find that it doesn't matter if it is Sierra Nevada or it's Equinox Brewing Company. We're all dealing with a lot of the same issues, just in different scales, different volume.
All right, this is one final poll, but it's the most important. Okay. Now, I like the word cloud for this poll. Receptive, engaged, quality. That's a good one. So quality means the big words, lots of ya. Collaboration, engaged, relaxed. Oh, that's pretty. Awesome. Thanks for playing my game. You'll see why we asked you to do that. Okay, so Eric Wallace, if you attended that Tuesday's opening session where he talked about safety a little bit in his address, and he said, do it, I heard him say that, but he also used a word to describe how we feel about safety, and it was, does anyone remember?
Disdain.
Yes. And that resonated with me a little bit because I think that's sort of how we feel about safety sometimes. It's kind of a pain in the butt. It is not necessarily the warm, fuzzy feel that we got from our culture descriptors. So what are some things you think about? What are some words that might describe safety programs? What comes to mind besides disdain? Just shout them out. We won't do a poll everywhere.
Policies.
Yep. Bureaucratic. Yep. What else? Sorry?
Burdensome.
Yes. Yeah. So that's why we're talking today, because we laid out such wonderful, lovely words about our culture and how we love the fact that we have family. We have collaboration. It's relaxed. We listen to music. Whoops. And with safety, these negative connotations come to mind. Structured, compliance, formal. It's clashing with what we think about as our culture. And that's why I think it's been really difficult for us to balance the two. We don't want to lose that culture that we love, but we know we have to keep our peeps safe, and we have an imbalance. And so that's part of what we're going to talk about is how do we strike that balance? How do we preserve the culture that we all love, but also keep everyone safe and have a healthy work environment? Yep.
So Odell Brewing Company has been around for almost 3 decades. And the truth of the matter is we may have learned some of our most valuable lessons from one person in our building. We're going to share a little video with you guys so that he can share his story. But to steal a line from my mom, she always used to say that you have to learn from your friends' mistakes because you'll never live long enough to make all the mistakes yourself. I think that's a powerful message, and I think this was echoed yesterday when they were talking about safety, is that we all need to take part in it, and it's not something that should be auxiliary. It can absolutely be integrated into everything you do. So here you go. Enjoy.
My name is Ryan Clark. I'm a packaging technician. I have been at the brewery now. I just celebrated my 4-year anniversary. I was injured on Friday the 13th. It was the end of my shift, a long week of launching, commissioning our keg line. It had only been a few months, maybe old at that point. Me and another worker were pretty much the only two guys that had worked on it. He was coming in to take over for the night. I was passing on what I had done, what he needed to get done. He jumped on a forklift as we were talking, continuing to tell him what needed to be done. Decided I wanted kind of to cross in front of him to jump over to the can line, and instead of just walking around or waiting for him to pass, I jumped up onto the forks and was standing there facing him. He had the forks on the ground going 1 mile an hour, and there was about a 3-foot Ballard that was used to mark the corner of a cooler that was no longer there. The Ballard was actually scheduled to be removed, and I just perfectly blocked the driver's vision from the Ballard. He drove me into it, and the cage of the forklift pretty much pinned me against the Ballard. I didn't know it yet, but it compound fractured my femur, put part of it out the back of my leg, part of it out the front of my leg, fractured my kneecap. And then when he hit it, I knew instantly that my leg was broken pretty severely. I actually instantly was already concerned that I might be losing my leg. Meanwhile, the driver of the forklift didn't realize what happened. He just heard a loud noise and we stopped abruptly. He couldn't figure out what had happened. I was screaming to him to put it in reverse. And all of this seems like it took 30 seconds, but it probably took about a half a second. I tried to reach forward and actually knock the forklift into reverse. He finally figured out what's happened. He threw it into reverse. You try to think of any type of first aid training or anything that you've ever seen on TV at that point, what you can do, and I just thought that I couldn't stand above my leg and bleed because I knew I was bleeding pretty good there. I finally heard the emergency services sirens coming, and probably the only time I've ever been happy to hear sirens in my life. They decided that they needed to rush me over to the hospital in the next town over, to the trauma center for emergency surgery. And a short 6.5 hours later, I was on the bed for emergency surgery, getting my leg put back together. And what they do for the surgery is they take a drill and go inside of your femur and bore out the inside of your femur and put one of these in there. And then take some of
and
these.
And that one was actually in there.
Yeah, and this one was in my leg from the first surgery. And then, yeah, these are the bolts that they use. I've got 3 in my hip, 4 in my knee. You may notice there's a little piece of a floating broken one in there because the other part of that screw is still stuck in my hip. In terms of how it's affected me, physically, obviously I've got, there's a lot of road to cover still. I mean, I feel it every day. I feel it sitting here right now talking to you. I'm one of those lucky people that can tell you when the rain's coming now. But one of the things I wasn't prepared for, the second it happened, I knew it was going to be a hard physical recovery. Wasn't prepared what it would do to me mentally. I mean, it's changed me. It definitely, it's helped to sit down and talk to people. Work's been great. Everybody's been great. My friends have been super supportive, but still just going from being a certain type of person to not being that person anymore, it takes a toll on anybody. And the accident has changed, obviously, some of my physical capabilities. Being a two-sport collegiate athlete, there's a lot of things I love doing that I really can't do to the same ability. Granted, I'm not as young as I used to be. There's a little of that in there, too. But just, I used to play basketball, big cyclist, love mountain biking, and those things aren't put away for me, thank God, but there's a lot more pain involved than there was the first time around. The many things I dealt with as I kind of was, I can't quite say getting better, but wrapping up therapy and getting cut loose to where I was on my own was, there was actually a concern whether I would be on disability. And that was definitely, especially for someone that, I've been lucky enough to work blue collar jobs most of my life. I like physical labor, and it was a concern if I'd be able to do stuff like that again. And so it was like long talks with my therapist, my doctor, and people at the brewery. And, and just between my doctor and I, and he was saying, it's definitely an option if you don't think you're physically capable of doing these things, but you're, at the time I'm 36, whatever, years old. And he says, that's going to follow you the rest of your life if you have this disability. So thankfully that didn't come about, and I was able to, they kind of cut me loose saying, there's not really anything I can't do. My legs just might be a little more sore than the guy next to me by the end of the shift. So I think it's important to talk about the incident and kind of share the experience. One of the main things is to help the rest of the industry out in case something like this, God forbid it happens to anybody else, but if something happens like this, you do have something in place, or you do have the things in place to prevent these types of things happening. I had said earlier, someone that worked around machinery most of my life, certified to drive all sorts of machines, and there I was still bleeding on the warehouse floor. So it's keeping yourself, keeping your employees informed of what can happen at work, what these machines can do. They won't blink an eye to hurt you. Whether it be the industry having policies and training in place, to the person sitting in the crowd right now that's like, oh man, I used to do that at my brewery, I'd ride around on the forklift. Don't do it. Follow the procedures, follow the rules, keep everybody safe, keep yourself safe. That it was nice to know that if you the driver of the forklift and myself, I think we did earn good reputations at work, and that people did trust us, and they knew that we weren't horsing around, that we weren't doing something that we weren't supposed to be doing. Yes, I had broken a pretty cardinal rule of forklift operation, but it wasn't done horsing around or maliciously or whatever. It was just more of fatigue and complacency and a lack of thinking through. So knowing that there wasn't any blame, and knowing that I did have a job whenever I was ready, and it was reiterated, just take your time, get better, don't even worry about work, that took a huge amount off my plate. I can't imagine having to go through getting better and worrying about finding jobs. Or in terms of this accident being avoidable or preventable, absolutely. I try not to look back and think about what decisions could have been done differently, but it is one of those things where it's just like, man, 3 seconds changed my life. And if it had just been 3 seconds of I know better than to stand on a forklift, or 3 seconds of the driver to say, hey, dude, you know better to stand on the forklift, then we wouldn't be having this conversation. So it was a very preventable accident for sure. Yeah, I'm not the same person I was prior to November of 2016. Some better, some worse. Hopefully more for the better. But we're getting better every day.
Huh. That's hard to watch sometimes. We're so thankful that Ryan agreed to share his story, and it was really important to him to share it as a way to provide the lessons that we learned from it, and to hopefully help others avoid this type of thing. So I think that's that's what we like to focus on, is how we're moving forward and the lessons that we've learned and how we feel that we're better because of this. We learned a lot. And again, like Jimmy said, sharing that with you so you can take these lessons and not have to go through that.
So I would also thank our leadership team for they sat down and talked about it and decided that they were okay if it was up to Ryan, but that they were okay with us sharing this story. I think that's really important, that's really powerful, and it really speaks to the culture of our company, that it's absolutely a black eye of ours, but we want all of you to share in that so you don't have to have it yourself, so you don't have to have a Ryan Clark story in your building. So this really did, for those of you that don't know us, we're certainly known for having a really robust culture already in place. We act as a family, we play as a family, we work as a family. And this really was feet to the fire. Is that really our culture? Are we really going to stand by what we're talking about? Because now we have a circumstance that we have to figure out. And Ryan already said that, but you know, we did. From the beginning, we did not want to fire them. I know I won't mention names. There are much bigger brewers that are in the same town we are that would fire them before he got to the hospital. But that's not our culture. That's not who we are. And it doesn't excuse actions, but it does really speak to the fact that we wanted to lift him up. We wanted to support him. And we've grown a lot since.
And stopping and instead of placing blame, it was more about, okay, what can we do differently now? And what are the things that maybe we didn't do to provide or prevent this from happening. So it's not just about training. Yes, training is important. And you heard Ryan say that both he and the driver were trained and that it was more about fatigue and complacency. And so that's really important when you think about what happened here, that they had the training, they had the education, but he just made that one bad decision because he had just gotten off a long shift, tired, wanted to get things done. So training can't be the whole thing. There has to be raising the awareness and keeping it front of mind for your coworkers.
So another lesson that we learned is having a back-to-work program. Seems really simple until you have a person that can't do their full job. So then when they come back, which is also, that's probably a different class, but it's really important to try and integrate these people back into their jobs as quick as possible. I've been injured before, and it's really difficult when you sit on the couch taking pain medication for 3 months at a time. It sounds great if you're a teenager, but the truth is it tears you apart and it's not easy. And so the sooner we can get them back and integrate them in, the better that'll work out. But valuable lesson for us. So he worked in packaging and it was his leg, so he can't stand for very long. So we had him work at the front desk. He helped out in the tap room. He did mail. And this went on because, as he alluded to, he had a second surgery. The metal didn't take in the first one, or the metal wouldn't allow his bone to fuse, so they had to go back in, re-break his leg, take the metal out, and put a new one in. So he kind of skipped over that. So back-to-work program is huge. If you can already have that in place and you have someone get injured, it's much easier to get them back to work quicker.
So focusing on communication, not so much policy. Yes, you're going to have policies in place, but making sure that you're communicating over and over, keeping it front of mind. That's something that, again, we had to learn through this experience, that how important that is and how easy it is to forget what we were trained on or what the policy is. So we're going to share some things that we do to keep it kind of right in everybody's face so we won't forget.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to continue to get these things out. This is one of them. We make a video, we share it with strangers, and then you take it away, and then we can prevent things like these happening again. But easy places for all of you to start. Again, all the stuff I'm going to talk about doesn't matter what size brewery you are, and the smaller you are, the better, because what you need is representatives from your different departments. So a really easy place to start is start a safety committee and make sure that everyone in one way or another is represented in your brewery. And it doesn't matter if they're carpet walkers, as everyone has labeled us at that work in the offices, but it's true. Everyone needs to have involvement, because that helps so much with the communication aspect of it. Discussing near misses, things of that nature. So communication is paramount. So a focus on education and process, which she kind of talked about, but we really are, you know, we try to be as proactive as possible. So an example would be is after Ryan Clark's accident, I said I wasn't going to use that word, after Ryan Clark's incident, because it took decisions to get to that place, we ended up training 40 people in the next 2 months after that on the forklifts. And it wasn't because everyone's driving forklifts all the time, but it very much educated everyone on the dangers of the forklifts, what can happen, and the things that are really easy to do to stay away from that. So part of that is the education part of that. But you have to be able to take things from it and move that forward. An easy way to do that, and there's another class after this that you should attend, but JHAs or JSAs, job hazard analysis, job safety analysis, these are really easy ways to get those answers. You don't have to be a safety professional, but the best thing you can do to fill these out is to have someone in the department fill it out. So what is the process? What's the potential danger? And what can we do to mitigate that danger? And as the safety manager at Odell, I'm not the one filling these out. Why would I be the one filling them out when this guy deals with this machine every day, when this woman works with all the cellar equipment every day? They're the best person to fill those out. And that's how you can start the education process and maybe find some low-hanging fruits as far as process improvements you can make to make it safer. So that's a really, really great way to do that.
I think one, I'll just jump in real quick.
Sure.
You mentioned earlier how important it is to have leadership buy-in, and I think keeping that priority, safety as a top priority, and communicating that creates the culture of ownership throughout the brewery. So that's really important to think through for you, having that buy-in, making sure that you are making it number one priority.
And one of the ways we do that is the second they walk in the door. So through orientation, they get to spend more time than they ever wanted to with me, but I spice it up and make it kind of fun. But it is. It's an easy way to get in when they come and start working for your organization. You can let them know up front, this is what we do. This is who we are, and this is how we go about doing things. So that's a really easy way, too, to get that buy-in is start at the beginning through the orientation process. But then those aren't the only people that you need to keep safe in your building, too, right? Lots of us have guests, tours, the general public. But then we also have a pilot system at our brewery. So if you have guests that come and interact with your equipment, you have to educate those people before you cut them loose to hang out in your cellar. Because as most breweries, you know, if you work in the cellar, you already have a pretty high knowledge of the beer, of safety, of chemicals, things of that nature. And then we bring people in for 8 hours to be around this hot equipment, be around chemicals, things of that nature. I think the best place to finish with who we are is the culture of ownership. We do have the luxury of being an employee-owned company, but the truth is, if you empower people, if you let people know they're important, let them know they can make decisions, stop work, hey, shut the line down for a minute, this belt is broken. I keep cutting my shirt on this crude metal that's coming off it. Whatever it is, everyone has to know that they have the power to point those things out, that they not only can bring them up, but then something will be done with them, and then we can get rid of those.
All right, so here's some fun things we've done at Odell. First, before we get to this, you see the posters are there?
Yep.
Right, so we have a campaign, Who Are You Safe For? And taking pictures of our coworkers and sharing Who Are You Safe For? Keeps it in front of everyone throughout the day so you can see these posters and be reminded. And so I'm going to share. Yes.
Yeah, do. And we rotate them monthly, the safety committee. That's the last thing we do at safety committee meetings now is we will go around the brewery, take down the old ones, put up the new ones. So they're constantly fresh and people want to look at them. And
we just have a quick video.
I am safe for my kids.
I stay safe for my mom and dad because they're a long ways away and always worrying about me.
I'm safe for my coworkers.
I am safe for my family.
I'm safe for Janelle, Cara, and Hazel.
I am safe for myself because I like going home with peace at the end of the day.
I am safe for my family, Kelly, Caitlin, and Kevin. That's why I'm safe in everything I do.
I am safe for my grandbabies.
I'm safe for my cat, Zuko.
I am safe for my family.
I'm safe for Tugboat and Bang Bang, and because life-changing injuries suck.
I am safe for my wife and my children.
I am safe for my wife, Kyla, and my kids, Shay, Brooke, Brynn, and Logan.
I am safe for my little girl, Bailey Ray.
As you can see, everybody has a reason to be safe. I'm safe, so I can continue to show up here and help all of you be safe. Thanks.
Yay. So, easy way to have fun with your culture, but keep it in front and communicate. And we just shared this at one of our big picture quarterly meetings. You all received the Sergeant Safety sticker. And Jimmy referenced that you got a sticker just for coming to class today. So congratulations. We implemented this
It was like 3 years.
Yeah. And we had Sergeant Safety come visit us at a quarterly meeting. And you can see him over on the screen here. That's actually our brew house manager, Bill. And some people did not even recognize him or know it was him. It was really funny. But he shared the message, and we made these stickers as a way to raise awareness and keep everyone on the same page with this is one of our top priorities. Jimmy also has recently started rotating shifts in production, and this has helped him see maybe near misses as they're occurring and being able to kind of investigate or look at processes as people are working. It's also a way for the team to see him and feel comfortable bringing things to his attention instead of having to stop and write an email or have to go upstairs and walk on the carpet. So this has been really, really awesome for our safety program and something that's easy, again, easy to do for someone to go and work in production if they aren't home-based in that department.
Yeah, and it has become very obvious very quickly that they're they feel safe and comfortable in their own environment. So it's much easier to draw that information out of them while they're working, because then it's front of mind. They can show you what they're doing. It really has helped build a rapport. And this has become even more important to us because we now have shift work. So we have people that are working overnights, and we don't see the same people all the time. And so it's an easy way to get face-to-face time and make sure that everyone feels like they have a voice and feels like they're getting that support that they need. So I think what we're saying is that there's so many different ways to keep safety front of mind, to get people to think about it daily. That's where the who are you safe for, you know, when they're on pass-on meetings with our shifts. Those questions are asked in that meeting. And so it's one way to every day, you know, think about that. And the other thing to consider is it's not always, the people that are hardest to get buy-in are not always the new people. Sometimes if you have people that have done the same job for 10, 15, 17, 20 years, they know how to do their job. Absolutely they do. But as Ryan just illuminated, the longer you do a process, the more complacent you can become, the more almost too comfortable in those environments. So this is just an easy way to every day, oh yeah, I've done that 1,000 times, but I thought about it because I saw the poster on the way in to the production area. things like that. So we really do just try to keep it right in front of everyone's face all the time, and then we can hopefully avoid another incident like Ryan's.
One other thing that's not on the slide, but that we have done is safety barbecues. So it's just a way, again, to communicate safety is a priority, feed everyone who's there, have people bring suggestions or ideas or even near misses to our attention. So I think that's just an easy way to remind everyone and have people understand it's okay to bring concerns forward and to share, and it's a relaxed way to do that.
And it's a way to reward everybody for doing good with safety. OSHA does not like dangling carrots. They are not for, you know, here's your incentive for being safe, because then people don't report. And then a lot of stuff gets buried under the rug. So it is a really cool way to kind of thank everybody when we do a good job. And we've also had some prizes. We'd had a raffle that was for a couple of traveling first aid kits, and there's a lot of people in our company that like to hike and climb and stuff like that. So they were highly sought after, and it was pretty funny. But yeah, it's just another way to bring everybody together, and again, just keeping it front of mind. The second you stop talking about it, it's the second everyone stops thinking about it.
I'm just curious if anyone has ideas that they've tried and want to share with the rest. We're such a small group, we can share, and there's microphones if anyone wants to share an idea or something they've implemented. Anyone? Yes.
Yeah, I gotta lower the mic a little bit. Hi, I'm Kat Thompson with Texas L Project, and it's very simple, but we have Monday morning meetings. The management team meets every Monday morning, and then we have an all-team meeting the first Monday of every month. And in each of those meetings we treat, it's not really a department, but we treat safety as having a voice in those meetings and making it kind of like a department. So any safety topics are raised in front of the whole team, and it's a good reminder every week, you know, bring that up, and also every month in front of the whole team. So
That's great. Thank you.
Yes. We reward employees for catching each other doing good things, a straight-up gift card situation. Both the identifying employee and the good-behaving employee get positive reinforcement. So we're trying to catch each other doing good stuff.
That's nice.
Love it.
That's great.
So that was our aim with Sergeant Safety, is you'll get a sticker if someone sees you doing something right or helping somebody else out or, you know, pointing someone in the right direction, helping the pilot guests out, anything.
And
like
they
that.
Love those. They want those stickers.
So I do want to say, though, because it's ridiculous, right? I can see the looks on some people's faces. Sergeant Safety is ridiculous. But from a psychological standpoint, the thing is, it works either way. If people really like it and think it's funny and love it, great. If people think it's ridiculous and think it's stupid, it still is in the front of their mind. So it works either direction, which is truly why we do some of the stuff we do, because it works. You don't have to think it's the greatest thing ever, but again, it's a daily reminder. It makes people think about it.
And we have, I just do want to say that we have seen positive results from our latest campaign, if you will, the Who Are You Safe For? And having that in their work areas as a reminder. We've only had one claim, and it was minor, in our first quarter, which is awesome for us. So it does work. We're not just saying it. Anyone else have anything they want to share? All right. I think we're going to skip that.
And then we'll do our last slide as well, and then we'll go back to that.
Okay.
Yeah. So I am nothing if not resourceful. And hopefully my coworkers would say that about me as well. If I don't have the answer, I'll find the answer, and I'll do it in a reasonably quick amount of time. So I wanted to make sure that we left all of you with some of this resource. And based on the poll anywhere we did earlier, a lot of you have really small breweries. These are great resources, and most of them are free. Okay, hopefully you've heard that a few times in this conference already. But starting with the Brewers Association, they have awesome stuff on there. They have lots of best practices. They have templates. They have they have videos from Grand Valley State. There's just really, really good information on there. And you know, I assume everyone's a member since you're at the conference, but it is a free resource to all. And that was actually something that we met to the next one, which is the Master Brewers Association. All of their safety content is also free. That's the committee that I chair, and we met in Portland 4 years ago with the BA and the MBAA, and we all sat down and said, we really need to go to our boards and make this stuff free. Safety shouldn't be proprietary. Everyone can keep their recipes private, but everyone needs safety. So those are two really great, not just safety resources, but brewery-specific safety resources, which truly, past that, it gets pretty thin and hard to find. The rest of it, which is the first one, OSHA's website, good luck. I would go to the BA first, MBAA second, and OSHA's website third. It's like reading a technical manual. It's difficult to wade through. So again, brewery specific. And then there's a couple of them that I don't even know if you're aware. So if you're big enough that you're required to carry work comp on all of your people, know that you're already paying them and they have safety resources. Some of them, Pinnacle in Colorado, and you'll just have to ask your carrier, but a lot of insurance carriers nowadays actually have safety liaisons, and their job is to go out to their customers and help them develop programs, give them resources that they need, stuff like that. So hit up your work comp carrier. If you haven't already, when you get home, call them and say, hey, so we're already paying you. What do you got for me? Because it really is tremendously, tremendously helpful. And then in the same vein would be like a broker. If you go through a broker for your insurance, ask your broker. They also have a lot of resources because, again, they want you to keep coming back too. So they have a lot of safety resources. It may not be they might not be telling every person every day, but just know that it's there. So ask them. You're already paying them. So in essence, you're not paying extra for those resources. And then past that, that's why I put safety consultants last, because yeah, you should absolutely hit up safety consultants. Pay them to come out and give their expertise. Do trainings. They can come out and help you figure out issues that you have, things of that nature. And then the last one is keep in mind your local resources. All of you have fire departments in your town. All of you have police departments. Most of them have public trainings. You can ask them. They will come to your brewery. They will set up a conference at their place, have all of you come there. These are all resources that I've just learned over the years, and they're so valuable because, again, with so many small breweries in here, it's free. You have no excuses. And you should utilize them. That's why they're out there, so that we can help the industry get better.
Don't forget, email Jim Stricker, right there at the bottom.
I honestly don't mind. I actually I've helped about a half dozen breweries in our town alone, and then I also teach a class over at CSU. So I'm more than willing to help out in any way that I can, even just pointing you in a direction, helping you get a program in place, that kind of stuff. So please reach out if you have any questions for that.
And I have one. I'm sure different states have different things, but we have Colorado Safety Association. So they do all the trainings. They can certify your forklift trainers, so then your forklift trainers can train on site. They do blood hazard. They do everything. They'll let you blow the fire extinguisher, which if you haven't done it, it's really fun. They tend to frown on that if you do it at the brewery, but they'll let you do it there for fun. So things like that just add extra training. And when you're a membership, all your classes are way cheaper. And they also do a like lunch and learn with an OSHA advisor once a month. So at one time, you can actually talk to OSHA, which, like you said, don't use their website. You won't find anything. But when you can talk to them, completely different experience. So.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah, and I guess that was on there. But also seek out if you have an OSHA institute in your state. Colorado, we're pretty lucky at Red Rocks Community College, so it's also a beautiful campus. But they have an OSHA institute there. You can take classes and get certified by OSHA instructors. So there's no gray area, there's no in between. You go there and you'll get the information you need. So I would seek that out in your state as well. And the last thing I would say with that is that OSHA as an organization likes to put a lot of those trainings on for free for like 1 week. In Colorado, it's in January, and it's at the OSHA Institute, taught by OSHA instructors, and you get actual OSHA certification. So seek that out as well, because it might not cost you a dime. Cool. So if you would like one of the best tools that you could possibly use, you need to go and see Matt Stinchfield after this. He's at the Omni Hotel, which Jill will also be at. But he's going to be talking about hazard assessment, and it really is just a way of looking at your process. It's not cookie cutter, although we're dealing with a lot of the same hazards. Matt's going to give you tools on how you can look at your own process as individuals within there. And after that, it's easy as pie, because then you've educated yourself on what the hazards are, so then you know how to either mitigate them or get rid of them.
Questions?
Anybody?
Yeah, we'll open it up for questions if you have any. Questions, comments, concerns, or a song if you would like to sing. Open mic. Open mic.
Awesome. So we're early. So if you would please join me in thanking Jill and Jim for their presentation this afternoon. The Brewers Association recently released the Hazard Assessment BMP, which Matt will be talking about across the street at the Omni Hotel this afternoon. I strongly encourage you to both find that document as well as all the other safety resources available on the BA website, ba.org. But please join us across the street if you're interested. It will explain exactly what that means. If you don't know what that means, he's going to break it down and make it simple. And he's got some wonderful tools that will help you get moving on this extremely important topic.
So, next.
Yep, he's next. So you got plenty of time to grab a beer and get across the street. So thanks again, guys.